B-Pod Studios.
Hour, the Mike Missanelli Show. We finally got to the 5 o'clock hour. As we all anticipate, when we come in, like we say before the show, I can't wait till 5. 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors. No money down. And 3 years to pay it off interest free. Just call Guided Door and Window today. Number's 1-877-GO-GUIDE. Or visit GUIDA.com. Let's get back to the phones and go with Basil in Brooklyn. What's up, Basil?
Hey, Mike. So we got here, born and raised here, but I'm residing in Brooklyn.
I love the name, man, because my grandmother used to go, Michele, go pick me some basilico.
You can't make good gravy. You can't make absolutely. Good gravy you
need,
basil, right?
You need the basil.
You need the basil, man.
Basilico.
Listen, I'm over here in enemy territory, man, trying to hold it down for the Sixers, man, but Ben ain't making it easy, man. This guy's not making it easy.
Well, you're on easy street now, dude. That squad up there gave up 145 last night.
Yeah,
were you point fingers last night? Last night you should be down on the town point fingers. I think they took their heart last night, Baz.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens the rest of the series, man. Let's see what team shows up, man. They need to play more consistent.
You're right, and Legler had it. If they played desperate last night, especially in the second half. They play desperate. The talent level comes out.
Exactly, Mike. You know, after a horrendous loss, you usually expect the team to bounce back hard, very well, especially on their home court.
Yes.
To see how they do, you know.
That was easy money last night, taking the Sixers, giving the eight.
Easy money. But and as you stated earlier with Ben, he has all the physical attributes, man. But you just never know what player is going to show up. And I heard that Brett Brown had even said to him at one time that you could be the best player coming out of Australia. He said, I don't want to be the best player out of Australia. I want to be the best player in the league.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen it.
Last night he took something to heart last night. So maybe he broke through.
Yeah, let's see what happens, man. Go Sixers.
All right, Baz, you got it, buddy. Basilico! That stuff grows like crazy, man. You already grow basil?
No. But I'm getting
that's a key Italian seasoning.
Yeah, I buy basil. I don't know.
You
never
grow. You just put a couple seeds in a pot, man. You have basil for the whole summer.
Really?
Yeah.
What does it all mean, Basil?
Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make my wife... I make fun of her. She has whatever the opposite of a green thumb is. That's what she has.
Yeah.
Any plant she buys dies within days. And I make fun of her about it. And she's so what I'm going to challenge her to do. Uh-huh. She was looking for a little gardening project to prove me wrong. If it's that easy,
buy a little herb garden. You can go to Home Depot, buy a little herb garden, and you plant seeds, and you get your basil, and you get all your herbs that you cook with.
That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to see if she can grow
that indoor on a windowsill.
And I won't feel as bad if she kills the herbs the way she kills
plants. Possible to kill herbs. Herbs will grow.
All right.
Yeah, flowers you can kill, but you can't kill herbs.
There's one person who can. She kills plants.
Right, let's go to Seth in Northeast. Seth, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Seth.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Seth?
Not much. I just have a quick question before I get into my Sixers point. With the new signing of the UFC onto the ESPN deal, they got a new TV deal. Do you think that it would be possible that you guys would introduce an MMA hour or UFC hour or anything like that?
No.
All right.
Well, a UFC hour as far as like this radio station or my show?
Yeah. Yeah, well, no.
Oh, the radio station? I mean, I don't know. There might, weekends maybe, that's an idea that the bosses might want to explore.
Well, all right, yeah, I just figured with the resurgence of the sport. But anyways, to get into my Sixers point, I really liked when I saw JJ off the floor with the other four starters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that means we should probably, look to have him come off the bench, but the team did thrive without JJ, and as much as I love the guy, the dude can't even guard me. So he might be more of a defensive liability.
They protected him last night. If you notice, they had the switches they had him on were on the weaker player instead of the better player. So they that was one of the nuanced adjustments that they made last night to protect him. He actually had a very good. I mean, you got to keep him on the floor because of what he adds.
Right, because of the three point shooting. Yeah, of course.
I mean, they're key. They dribble handoff. So that JJ coming off of that is essential to have on the floor.
Yeah, I would agree. I just wanted to see what your thoughts on.
Yeah, let me see what he was defensively last night. It's 17 points, a tidy 7 for 12, played 24 minutes. He was a plus 18.
Those are good numbers.
My other point
was that Ben Simmons, him breaking out like that is exactly what this team needs. Because as we overlook, he is the primary ball handler, and most of our offense does go through that man.
Mm-hmm.
And if that man is conducting the offense, we're going to see him and Joel are two very important pieces that need to play consistently. As far as Butler and Tobias, they can, one person can have a good game, one person can have an all right game. Mm-hmm. But the two people that need to have good games are Ben and Joel.
Totally agree with you, man. And Ben Simmons was the game last night. Ben Simmons was freed up. It was a different Ben. He just was flying down the floor, going downhill, as Legler described it. Aaron Chester. Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, how you fellas doing today?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. All I got to say is that I'm very excited right now. It kind of took me back to Space Jam's moment, like when they got that special stuff. I think something happened to the Sixers.
Yeah.
To where they got that special stuff.
Yeah, that third quarter was, that was just fire. Straight fire.
That's what it was. And then, the first game, they wasn't going through the picks, none of that stuff, but now they went through it, and it caused them to keep moving and moving. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to keep moving, because if they keep moving, then they won't be, in the standstill or be lazy about it, because these teams have some fast guards, and they can just blow you, just go to the basket. And those, and like, zero to, like 1 to 0 seconds.
Yeah.
So I'm like, come on, you gotta stick with these guys. You gotta fight through the picks, fight through everything you gotta fight through, and just keep going. And a friend of mine said that we shouldn't be excited because this is a team that's like ranked number 6 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they in the playoffs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You gotta think about it. Like, they not in there for a reason that, they corny or this and that. They have skill, they have talent just like we do. And all I gotta say is they gotta keep fighting.
Well, how you feel about now the future? After you saw that game last night, what did it make you think?
I really feel like if they keep that momentum going and keep drinking that special stuff, whatever it is, or even if it's Brett Brown cursing or whatever's causing them to keep going, I think we could keep going all the way through and to the Eastern Championship.
All right, I like it.
I feel it.
Okay, man.
I got faith. Go Sixers.
All right, bro, you got it. All right, let's go. Kyle in Levittown. Kyle, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Kyle?
Yo, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Kyle?
Yo, did you see this video about Noah Syndergaard yet?
Yes, I saw it.
Oh, you saw it?
He dipped in his glove and got some kind of sticky substance.
I got another thing for you then, since that one's...
Well, they don't know what it is, actually. So they didn't really catch him, except the video came out, so...
Yeah. So I got another thing for you. How big you think it was that Boban came on and scored all them points in the first quarter for Joel Embiid to get him some rest?
Yeah, it was key. I mean, I'm not a big Boban fan, but he did contribute last night against that team. I guess that's a team he can contribute against because they're so woefully undersized. I mean, they have journeymen that are their front court players. So, I guess against that kind of team, he could be a contribute. As Prop Joe would say.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty significant. Get Joe off the court, since he's hurting.
Yeah. Yeah. And now Boban might not be the guy they use against Toronto.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to get Joel off the court sometimes.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it, Mike. Have a good day.
All right, man. Yeah, the Syndergaard thing. On cold nights, they have allowed pitchers to do things that they normally wouldn't allow pitchers to do. Now, that doesn't mean you can put pine tar on the ball. But pitchers have, on cold nights, they've kind of looked the other way with some kind of sticky substance. Like it might be some kind of, bat grip substance that they're using to enhance their grip. Umpires will get in the leeway. You're allowed to go to your mouth on nights like this.
Yeah. But, and somebody mentioned that after the game, I understand gripping the ball, but they thought that whatever he had wasn't the allowed stuff.
He's not the first guy to do it, by the way. They guys have been using sticky stuff on the sly in this modern age.
Yeah.
So, and they've kind of looked the other way, especially on cold nights.
Well, I hope they bang
get a grip on the ball.
Hope they get him with a 10-gamer.
Yeah, Cesar Hernandez could have used some pine tar last night on that throw to the plate. It would have been nice.
He could have.
Yeah, Kevin in Newcastle County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, happy anniversary, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Kev. Man. Thanks, hey,
look,
buddy.
I want to tell you something, and not that you need to know, but Tyrone and that, when you're gone, man, they step and do a good job. My man Ty, he threw some serious stats at me last Thursday. And I was a little disgruntled.
Oh, he put you in the woodshed, did he?
No. He didn't put me in the woodshed, no. because this is the thing. What I brought up was 1983. And at the time, I didn't know Ty wasn't born then. Uh-huh. My point was, it's 36 years later, and they still haven't won anything, man. And I am a little disgruntled.
Yeah.
But it gave me a little, I mean, Brett, he...
They're 15 years ahead of Flyers, though.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly. Look at the bright side.
I said the Sixers is 36, Flyers like 45. The last team was like significant. Not so much. I mean, the Souls got back to back, but I'm saying that the prime time teams, the Phillies was the last, 2008 or whatever.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I give Brett Brown credit for making adjustments. I'm not a Brett Brown fan, and you pointed something out to me, Mike, that nowadays, other than Pop, these coaches aren't disciplinary. They're player coaches because, Amir on the sidelines with the phone and all this other stuff, he wouldn't be able to do that with Billy Cunningham and Chuck Daly and all.
No, the game has changed. Like, can you consider Rick Carlisle a disciplinary coach?
No.
No, I mean, he's the closest thing. Like, Popovich still is. Can you consider the guy in Miami a disciplinary coach? Mildly. No. You're not going to get to in-your-face guys anymore.
No, I know, because Pat Riley wouldn't stand for certain things too, man. But I just want to say, when you're out, man, they do a hell of a job, man.
They do, Kevin.
They do a hell of a job, and I appreciate it. But, I got to give, when I beat up on Brett, I got to give him some credit, man. He made adjustments.
He did make the adjustments last night. No Brett hate today.
Yeah, and he gave me a little hope. But, I mean, I got to see that in Brooklyn, though.
He gave you hope for what, the series? Yeah, the Sixers win this series, bro. Get past that. They're not going to lose this series.
Yeah, well.
Come on. You got to get at least past that. Now, when we're talking Toronto, you got a legitimate beef. There's no way. After what happened last night, took a little of the Nets' heart. The Nets know they can't win three more games against this team. It's not going to happen. And no. I would be shocked if it goes to six. Well, no, I wouldn't be. I would give them one game in Brooklyn. When would they win game?
They would play with 3 and 4 there, so maybe
five, six would be, the Sixers would win 6 in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's where they win.
Yeah, although if they win 3 by enough, they're cooked.
Hey, how about, I got a bell ringer. Alain Vigneault.
There you go.
The new head Flyers coach. Would that work?
I like that.
I got a bone to pick with the Flyers a little bit.
What?
You see, the Phillies did a nice hype video for the Sixers starting the playoffs. The Eagles did a nice hype video for the Sixers starting the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
The Flyers took a picture with 3 guys.
Well, they ran out of time. They couldn't do a video. That season went shorter.
They don't have a web guy that can do something real fast just to do a little video? I felt like it was it felt weird because it was so noticeable. They came out the same day. Eagles, big video. Phillies, big video. Flyers, picture. They showed love. They didn't ignore it, but it would have been nice little video.
All right. Bring the coach out. The new coach.
I don't think you can.
You don't think that would zip up the crowd?
You got to do Carter Hart and Giroux first.
Ladies and gentlemen, ringing the bell, Alain Vigneault.
Who?
But you got to get Lou Nolan to announce it.
Yeah, there you go.
You bring him in, but what
bring
happens?
Bring in Lou to announce it.
Like, it'd probably be mixed, like, it'd be mixed.
It'd be murmurs.
It'd be more of a confused look, like, okay, we're going to clap, but we're not sure why.
It'd be murmurs. Chris in Williamstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Mikey Miff.
What's up, Chris?
I do have some Brett hate for you in a second here, but did the Sixers waste putting Bryce Harper out there to not bring him out here now at this point by doing it before? I think it was
No. Yeah, the timing was right to bring Bryce up then because he was the story.
How about Larry Brown to ring the bell? I think that would be the last.
I don't know if that would make Brett Brown feel very good to bring Larry Brown out.
Well, you know what, Mike? All right, let's get to my Brett Brown hate.
Right,
you know what? Why did it take for him getting to this point, having the criticism that he has on him from people saying, you don't make it out of first, you don't make it out of second, you're fired, find your way home, that's that. Like, why did it take this long for him to finally put his foot up their rear ends instead of patting these guys on the back? It blows my mind to see what happened last night versus game one. And then to hear what he did at halftime, like, why did it take this long, Mike?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. It's just not, and that's not his character, right? So last night he was just so angry at the way the first half had closed up that he exploded, and it worked. But he can't take that off the shelf another time. Because they're on to him now. That's not him. Yeah, and it shocked him into maybe playing well in the third quarter, but I don't know how effective it would be if he did it again.
So, okay, so I'm expecting the pat on the back, Brett Brown, to come back.
No, you know what he needs to do? He doesn't need to yell. He needs to come up with strategies that worked. Now, last night, his strategies worked. The first game, they sat on their hands, these coaches, couldn't make any adjustments. They made adjustments last night.
I get you that, but see, Mike, my concern is going forward, like, what is to stop him from falling back into this hole that he was in of not doing this? Like, that's my concern going forward, into next season even, and then falling back into that hole, like, I'm sorry.
Listen, it's really simple. If he doesn't get through the second round, he won't be back.
Wow, Ben.
So then they won't have to worry about it,
now,
Chris.
You ain't making it out of the second round.
Not even optimistic about last night's game. It didn't learn him anything. Last night did not tie into the second series at all for that caller. He's just a Brett Brown hater. Dan in Pottstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Dan?
So I'm glad that I just followed that caller because I kind of wanted to get your opinion on why are we so quick to just talk about Brett Brown and, you know, like finally made some adjustments and stuff like that. Like, if I'm a player on that team, and after game one went, I was down there at that game last night, and that first half, people were just sitting in the section, you know, on the upper level, just like couldn't believe it. Like, other than Ben Simmons, it didn't seem like any of those players came out to really be like, all right, you know what, we got embarrassed in game one at home. People were on their phones, on the bench, you know, this and that. Ben's coming at the fans, and there was no sense of urgency. Like, why did they?
There was no sense of urgency at the start of that game. You thought? I thought there was. I thought their energy was good in the fairly. Listen, they got matched by some 3-point shots that the other team hit, but their energy was way different than game one.
I mean, we still gave up like 60 some points.
Yeah, I get it, and that's what freaked out the coach. But they still had better energy offensively, and you can tell they were doing things differently. And Ben Simmons was engaged, and they had Ennis out there scrambling on the perimeter on defense to stop those 3-point shooters from getting. You know, they did different things.
I will agree that the second half, like face guarding D'Angelo like that, is something that, you know, I don't understand why Brett couldn't do that in the first 6 minutes of game one.
Where you and I are on the same page. I don't get when you're watching your team get dismantled like that, that there's nary a voice on that bench that can change it up.
Yeah. But, you know what? I mean, I left there. I kind of felt good. I mean, you know, I know everyone's like, oh, it's one quarter, but I want to see more responsibility fall on the players as much as the coach.
I agree. You know, listen, Ben Simmons is the guy. You know, if we want to boil it down to something simple, it's Ben Simmons. When he's playing like that, he's energized and he's going downhill and he's attack, and he's playing. He's a good defender. And last night, he made sure he defended that guy. And then we're a different team. It all depends on him, because he's giving everybody else confidence. He gave Tobias confidence last night, the way Ben Simmons played.
No, he absolutely did. And it was, like you said, it was him, and he did it right from the start.
Right. It's because he's like dashing up and down the floor. That gives you, as a player on a team, that you follow that.
Yeah.
You're energized to attack. That makes everybody else energized to attack.
You know, him and Embiid are starting to be, they're starting to be jealousy among players and pundits and other cities and stuff. I like that. I like that. I think they hear that. In addition to the booing, I think they realize that, like, now I don't know if they're mature enough, like Tim Legler said, to handle it, but I think they're now aware of it. Yeah. Now the question is, can they fight through it and embrace it enough to where it drives them? Because I think they're being aware that, oh, they can't do this, and this guy's out of shape all the time, and this guy's soft. I think they're starting to listen to it, and it's triggering them. The question is, will it trigger them game three, game four, Toronto series?
Like, now, here's the key for tonight. No basketball on. Can, as a fan base, can we scale it down to the excitement of last night's NBA game? Just sitting there and enjoying a 3.5 hour Phillies game. Just sitting there enjoying the Phillies.
I take the over.
Can we dial it down?
I take the over. They haven't had a game 3.5 hours. This barely any. This is 4 hour games every day.
Really?
Their games roll.
I'm going to just sit there and enjoy each pitch.
No, I am too.
You know? Maybe have a little bullet bourbon.
Yeah, and then it's what, a day game, and then the Sixers are back Thursday.
That's right. So you got a couple days to marinate. Mike Mussinelli Show, back after this. All right, it's 5:32, Mike Mussinelli Show, and it's time for our final Twitter poll. And the Twitter poll, of course, is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer, it sounds. Attention all landscapers looking to repower a zero-turn or walk-behind mower. Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie.
Over 1,400 votes on this one today. How many games will it take for the Sixers to beat the Nets? 29% saying 5 games, 58% saying 6 games, and 13% saying 7 games. So 58%, 6 games, the winner.
All right. You know, I was looking at this Ken Atkinson, this dude who coaches the Nets, right? He's a hate-the-facer. Anything?
Yes.
He's definitely a hate-the-facer. And I never trust guys that use too much product.
He's too much product, guy?
He's got too much product.
You do not like the slick back hair.
Too much product. Too much product and too much cologne. I don't trust you.
That's a good point.
That's a good one.
Valid.
I'm thinking to myself, like, where do I know this dude? I know he's been banging around the league a little bit.
He's been on the Spurs guy.
And I just realized where I remember him from.
Oh.
When I was covering college basketball, the 1988 Temple Owls were number one in the nation in the NCAA playoffs. He was on a Richmond team that got to the Sweet 16 to face Temple after beating Indiana and Georgia Tech.
Wow.
He was a starter on that team.
Well, look at that.
How about that?
That's wild.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, because
The upset Indiana was a monster shocker upset because Indiana, defending NCAA champions that year, they won. And then they come back and they beat Georgia Tech with Dennis Scott and Brian Oliver and those guys, right?
Then they
get to Temple, and Temple thumps them 69-47. And that's how Temple advanced to the eight. And then they got to the, obviously they lost in the regional final to Duke. Steel in Ocean City, you're on 97.5 Fanatics. Steel.
Squared.
What's up, Steel?
The incomparable Miss Nat and the esteemed insider. I would be remiss if I didn't wish you a happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. 1 year on NBC Sports Philly. They said it couldn't be done.
Yeah, you guys proved them wrong. You proved them wrong. Mike, I crossed something off my bucket list.
What's that? Did you get the Masters?
Yes, I did.
Did you really? When were you there?
In person. Sunday. I had a Sunday bag.
Oh, my.
Just an incredible, incredible mecca. You talk.
Did you follow Tigray?
I'm sorry?
Did you follow Tiger that day?
I walked it. You can't get close to that cat.
It's tough.
Too deep.
Yeah.
It's too deep. Yeah. It's just being on the grounds was not to be rude.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It's orgasmic. It really is.
Yeah.
$3 beers and $1.50 cheese sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I had a grilled chicken wrap, $3.
Wow. You stole
it. A barbecue sandwich, $3.
Listen, I'm happy to report I'm going to be playing in Europe.
Awesome, Steele.
Yeah.
You're in? Now, you checked in?
I'm in. Beautiful. Have a three ball. I'm just throwing this out there. I have a three ball. Now, I'm an old geezer. I'm 62.
Uh-huh.
But I have a three ball, and I'm playing with two very handsome pre-med students. So I'm thinking maybe Miss Nat might want to fill out the four.
Oh, are you trying to hook Nat up?
That's not true!
Come on. We can't be playing matchmaker here. Nat's an esteemed guest at this tournament.
She's a guest. All right. Yeah. She's not a player?
She might be playing. Nat, are you going to play?
We'll see.
She's entertaining the thought.
I will be
playing with everybody, so I'll be running into you guys. I like to hit a shot with everybody.
Yeah, Steele from Ocean City will introduce himself. Let's talk Sixers.
Quickly.
Legler.
Uh-huh.
He made a great point. Why can't this team play in desperation mode every single game, every possession? Let me go. I love you guys.
Well, listen, the playoffs, you're going to have to do that in the playoffs. Yeah, game one, I don't understand. I'll never understand it. But I think they got the message. Sean and Malvern, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Sean?
I'm thinking about Joel Embiid's flagrant foul on Jared Allen.
Uh-huh.
And ESPN's making like a big deal in the post.
It was Dudley, wasn't it? Was it Dudley or was it Allen? Who was it?
I think it was Allen.
Was it Allen? Okay, all right.
Yeah, big elbow in the face. And, yeah, ESPN.
That's
was
right. He had pushed Dudley in the first game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He was making They were making a big deal out of him and Simmons laughing in the post game interview.
Mm-hmm.
Right, do you make anything of that?
I don't know why they were laughing. Actually, what was that about? It was an inside joke.
Simmons made a joke to make Embiid laugh.
Yeah, it was an inside joke. They weren't laughing at the circumstance.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it might have been Simmons laughing at Joel because Joel's usually not very humble.
Mm-hmm.
He's a beast.
Yes.
And Simmons laughing might have caused Joel to go off.
Yes, I think that's the way it played out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I like the foul. It deserved the flagrant one. It didn't deserve flagrant two.
Yeah.
But you know, I like that kind of physicality to display on another guy that's trying to defend you. You know, and maybe that makes him think twice the next time he gets a little, like, a couple feet away.
Yeah, it brings an intensity to the game in the arena. It's good.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, Bill in Schwanksville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Bill?
I was kind of like you and kind of like I want to steal a point like Legler. I've been listening all day. And, you know, I'm a little bit on more, I hate to say this, the pessimistic side here, Mike, for a couple of reasons. You know, Brooklyn hung with them the very first half, which kind of scared me. They, you know, they had that 11-point lead. They blew that. And then Embiid being out of shape. You know, there was that time, I think in the second quarter, he got an offensive rebound. It was like an air ball on the other side. He went up for a dunk, and he completely missed the wide-open layup. You can just tell he's gassed. He's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He's either gassed or he's really, really hurt.
And yeah, he's got some pain in his knee, and he's not in the best of shape. You're right.
Yeah,
so what are you afraid of? This series?
I'm afraid of this. The thing with Simmons, everybody's talking, and I think Legler kind of hit on it. Yeah, everybody was saying today when Simmons gets ahead of steam, he's unstoppable. But I think that's untrue. Like Legler said, when the defense just kind of puts their hands up and stands in the middle, like 10 feet from the basket or 8 feet from the basket, Simmons can't finish.
No. But the head of steam he's talking about is when they got it in transition yesterday before they got a chance to set up.
Yeah, but...
No, you're right. You're right about the semi-head of steam is what when they put the gate up, he stops.
Yeah, they put the gate...
Yeah. But last night, he didn't allow them to do that. He broke them early by playing downhill and getting to the basket, and it changed the whole mindset.
Yeah, even like last night, his one move where he hesitates at the top, like the top of the key, and then he crosses over,
you
know, kind of like that, like he switches. That's when he's effective. But
right.
Like the first play of the game where he walked, and then some of his other layups, Mike, 90% of the time, he's missing those shots. They're going hard off the backboard.
And yeah, he flips a lot of stuff up.
He threw up a lot, like one last night.
But what are you worried about exactly? I'm trying to get to the worry.
I'm just worried.
They're not going to lose this series, all right? So you don't have to worry about this series. They're not going to lose this series.
In the next series.
All right. We'll take that series when we get to it. Legler thinks they can beat Toronto. They play with desperation. And he says they can beat Milwaukee, too. Now, normally, you look at some shortcomings and go, nah, they probably can't get that far. Like me. Like, I'm skeptical that they can win the second round. Coming up 5 minutes' time, sound off right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's time for you to sound off. Time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's keep going.
Sound off. All right, it's time for Sound Off. The number is Sound Off, 610-771-9705. If you got something to say, hit us up on that line. You know, it's a burning thought. You want to get it published, to leave us a message. We review all the messages, and we may play yours. Let's see what we got today.
Hey, a weird thing happened to the Warriors with a 31-point lead midway through the third period. They couldn't stop Mr. Offense, Lou Williams, and they couldn't stop their own human turnover machine, Durant. I will thoroughly enjoy a Sixers-Rockets NBA final.
Oh, Dave's got the Sixers and the Rockets in the NBA finals. What do you think?
I thought the Warriors were a lock when Boogie was in.
Uh-huh.
They're vulnerable now. They're still the favorite, but he was the guy that pushed it over the top to where no one can catch him. Maybe Houston. They got the Game 7 last year. Maybe that's the next series. Maybe they can do it. Well, it's not out of the question.
You know, last night, our old friend, Landry Shamet. Big shot he hit for him.
Big shot.
He only had 12 points, though.
No, he starts
for them, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, he plays big minutes for them. And that was a big shot. He still doesn't.
He's four for nine from three. That's the only shots he took.
Yeah, no, he's a sniper. That's all they ask him to do.
Lou Will. Unbelievable. Off the bench, 36.
He's a Hall of Famer, probably. He's going to win Sixth Man of the Year again. He's a Hall of Famer.
How you can score. Nolan and Glenmore, you're on 97. Oh, I'm sorry. What am I doing? I'm taking calls in the middle of Sound Off. I'm fried. Go ahead. Next call.
This message goes out to Princess Ben Simmons. I just want to let you know, if you watched last night, if you heard us last night, we cheered. We cheered because you put out an effort. We cheered because you played great basketball and you showed us a little bit of heart and some talent. We will cheer you. Give us what we want.
But he mocked you. He gave you the mock ear cup. It was the mock ear cup.
I was at the Sixers game last night and Brooklyn was in the house, but that wasn't Jay-Z's Brooklyn. These punks were down 30, eating ice cream sundaes, trying to talk trash. How are you going to talk trash down 30 points with Rainbow Jimmy's all over your face?
Ice cream sundaes.
Yeah,
what, the fans?
Yeah, they were
eating ice cream. Trash?
Well, eat ice cream. Can't talk trash, eat ice cream.
How many people from Brooklyn came down for this game?
There's some spattering. They all wear the black and white jerseys because they look cool because they're black and white.
All right.
I don't know which one of you yesterday said you did not want to see Boban ever again on the court, but he heard you. You woke up a sleeping giant, and for what it's worth, for a good 2 to 3 minutes,
I don't think I said I don't want to see him on the court ever. I said TJ should not go on the court if for the playoff series. But I'm not a fan of Boban's either. So you know, believe me, don't get conned. You know, I've never seen a guy. He tried to block 4 shots last night, and missed every one of them. Yeah, I've never seen a guy, 7'3" guy, who can't block a shot.
I'm driving to work today. Sixers win. Beautiful day. And I drove by the McDonald's on Broad and Carpenter, and I saw a help wanted sign. And you know who the first person I thought of was? TJ McConnell, because he's going to need another job. Let's go!
Oh, he's going to get a job. He's going to get a job. Somebody's going to sign him. He's going to make some money, too. He's not going to be back with the Sixers next year, but he'll make $5 million somewhere.
That's five times more than he makes this year. That's He's about to get a big raise.
Hitting a baseball is absolutely the hardest thing to do in sports, and I raise the pitcher. Tell the gentleman who said golf is the harder sport is let him stand in a batter's box and let him watch a baseball go by him at 99 miles an hour.
Listen, golf is no picnic. All right? It's hard to master the game of golf, but what I'm saying is the hardest single thing to do is that it hit something that's coming up with 99 miles an hour with movement. That's not easy.
Woo!
Yeah! Brett Brown, Coach of the Year, baby! Woo! And
I am from Philadelphia, 76ers. Brett Brown, Coach of the
Year, all of a sudden. I think he was being sarcastic.
Oh, he was? So he picked today, of all days, to talk bad about Brett Brown like he didn't do a good job.
Mr. Adjustment. You know, you got to give it to him.
I love all the positive attention. And, you know, I got really emotional on Sunday. I don't know. It's great for the game, and I'm really, really happy about it. And the Sixers are going to win in five.
You talking about the Tiger Masters thing? Yeah, I broke up a little bit, too. I got to be honest with you. Yeah, he was hugging everybody. You know, the kids, Charlie, Sam. Yeah. All the players came down. Mom, who drove him to all the golf courses when he was you know, a young lad. All that stuff was emotional. It got me, too.
Did it, Mike?
No.
Didn't think so.
Not even the slightest.
Not even the slightest. There's no part of you even felt a thing.
Nothing.
Come on, man.
The Mets are like our kryptonite. We always struggle against this team, and I don't know why. But the thing is, Mike, as good as Rhys Hoskins has been at the plate, he's been butchering some catches at first base.
Yeah, he's not the slickest fielder, but he's doing it. And listen, hey, you put a guy at first base, you don't expect him to be Keith Hernandez anymore. All right? Just hit some home runs, and then we'll live with the defense. Close it down, bro.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com.
You got a beef?
I don't like
it.
Because I don't like
it. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your Sound Off gets on.
See you later.
All right, that was Sound Off. One more reminder, the Mike Miss Open, the golf tournament of the century. Thursday, May 16th, Ron Jaworski's Downingtown Country Club. Registration now open, 975thefanatic.com. The proceeds will benefit the American Association for Cancer Research. It sells out fast. It's being presented by Corona Premier this year. We'll have some ticket rates coming up, all that good stuff. But get on the website and get in the golf tournament. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, so coming up next on the radio side, we'll have Devon Givens. And then on the TV side, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Quick Slam. So everybody, have a great rest of the night. Enjoy the Phils tonight. Nice and lay down, you know, kind of comfort night. Little bullet bourbon and a cigar. How's that sound? And 9 innings of 4-hour baseball. I love it. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.